If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to stephaniemiller.com to find out how.
Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning.
How are you this fine morning?
I'm all right.
In this delightful and really too short electoral cycle for me.
I think it could go on for a couple more years.
Yes, yes.
Why not?
You did tweet, though, constantly refreshing 538 won't defeat Trump. Vote and volunteer to get out the vote. Put Twitter down and do something truly impactful. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to wake up on next Wednesday wondering if I've done enough.
Right.
You know, if you are somebody who is sitting there refreshing 538 and you've not knocked on doors or made phone calls or given any money or if you don't have a plan to get to the polls or if you don't have a plan to get other people to the polls, then you have no reason to worry.
Right.
You shouldn't. You don't have the right to worry.
Right. You were saying you also tweeted down ticket Republicans helping get out the vote for Hillary in a must-win state of Pennsylvania for Trump. His path to victory now includes a moat and several cliffs in Pennsylvania.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be clear about something. Is there tightening? Yes. And why is there tightening? Let's look at what's happened here. They have spent. This is the conservative movement, the Republican Party, have spent billions of dollars demonizing Hillary Clinton over the last 30 years.
Right.
They have spent decades sucking up to bigots and racists and homophobes and xenophobes and sexists. Are we really that surprised that Republicans, when push comes to shove, would vote this way? The only thing that's happened here is that Republicans who claimed to be on the fence have started telling pollsters that they're going to vote for Donald Trump. He still has a ceiling, you know, and the fundamentals of this race have not changed. Hillary Clinton leads in virtually every swing state, and Donald Trump would have to flip a couple dark blue states that haven't voted Republican in 30 years.
Yeah, I was saying, you know, we're in this place where you read things that make you feel better, and then you pick up another headline, and you're like, But Washington Post, the headline is Donald Trump now leads in two of his three must-win states, but the path forward is grim. And he's basically, you know, if you're watching everybody on TV do all these electoral maps, that appears to be true. He writes, Donald Trump has to win Florida, North Carolina, and Ohio. He has to do a lot of other things, too. He has to hold Arizona and Texas, but he also has to win Iowa. He has to keep Utah's electoral votes in his pocket. With what will give him all those states for the sake of argument, to have a shot at the presidency, he needs to win Florida, North Carolina, and Ohio. And if he does, and if the other must wins above hold, he will pull to 259 electoral votes. So all that makes me feel warm and fuzzy.
he gets to 259 if he does all that.
Right.
So basically, if he does, you know, what people are basically considering his best, you know, what he's doing, you know, his absolute best gets him to 259. That means he has to flip one or two more that are states that haven't voted Republican since before Bill Clinton came on the scene.
Right.
I really can't stress enough what it means that, you know, when you've got the Republican Party that for the better part of half a century has been coddling the racists and bigots in their midst, the signal that sends to Republican Party voters is that it's okay to vote for a racist or a bigot, even if they're uncomfortable with it. So that's why they're coming home. But there's not enough of them. And the only way that
I just can't imagine being in a party, you know, and saying it's okay to vote for someone who the Klan has just endorsed in their official newspaper and is getting out the vote for, right?
Yeah, and I wonder what page they're going to cover that church burning with the vote Trump spray
the black
painting
church
on it in that paper. Yeah. I wonder if that'll lead on page one of the KKK Times.
Yeah. I wanted to play this. We were talking about it before the break. He has specifically attacked NBC's Katie Tour again by name, asking, you know, the crowd to turn on him. And there were other reporters there going, this is really frightening what they're doing. Let's listen for a second.
But we have two more today in Florida, and we have massive crowds. There's something happening. They're not reporting it. Katie, you're not reporting it, Katie. But there's something happening, Katie. There's something happening, Katie.
Lock her up.
And yes, we will build the wall.
God. I mean, that is just bullying, pure and simple, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, if anybody's ever been on Fox News, they could tell you that the second people know who you are in that world is when the bigoted emails start and the death threats start. Mm-hmm. So Any liberal who's ever been on Fox News has been, you know, a victim of that, and a number of reporters have been a victim of it thanks to Donald Trump.
Carl, we've heard obviously really good news for Hillary and a lot of early voting data, but the other thing that we are hearing that the African American vote is down in early voting as compared to last time. I mean, again, I would assume it's going to be hard to reach levels of the first African American president, but are you concerned?
It's especially hard when voter suppression tactics have made it much, much harder for African Americans to vote early. So I think it could be down a bit, but it's not because of a lack of enthusiasm. Case in point, you look at North Carolina, where they're saying, oh, early voting is down around Duke University. Well, that's as if nothing has changed. That's assuming, you know, without fully telling the audience that not only have they taken the polling place away from Duke University that used to facilitate early voting at the university, they've moved it 20 minutes away.
Yeah.
So that's happening all over these states where, you know, elections officials don't actually try to make it easier for people to vote. They try to make it harder for people to vote. You know, these are states where lawsuits have proven that elections officials who are supposed to be nonpartisan and impartial have admitted in their internal correspondence that they were looking for ways to disenfranchise black people.
Yeah, and the president made the point yesterday, of course, that Trump would, to African-American voters, that Trump would undo his legacy. I mean, if you care about the legacy of the first black president, I just think that's another of so many reasons why it's critical to get out and vote.
Right. And, you know, I think it's natural that there are like these gasps and snaps back, you know, white America is really frightened, you know.
Yeah.
They had all the presidents and now they're not going to have two in a row, you know, no white men, two in a row. And, you know, I think that's why you see a lot of this tension.
Yep.
But we can put that to rest by not allowing it to win.
Yep.
And, you know, as long as we all do our part, I'm confident.
Yeah. The polls, once again, are a little all over the place, right? And I saw a new national one out where she's up 5 again. I know I keep hearing at this point the national polls aren't really the concern, right?
Right. And actually, you know, you look at the state polls, and that's where I find my solace, is in the state polls. It's gotten tighter on the national level. Most of the states that one would consider a firewall for the Democrats have remained consistent. Doesn't look like anything's going to happen in Pennsylvania or Wisconsin or, you know.
Don't get happy.
Of course not. Do not get happy.
Speaking of Wisconsin, Russ Feingold is up, and oh my God, that is one that I'm so rooting for.
Absolutely. And, you know, McGuinty in Pennsylvania, I mean, we have a chance here to elect a Democratic Senate and a Democratic president. We've not had that since Obama's first 2 years in office.
Yep.
It is so fundamentally important that we have those people there to help her with the agenda.
And you tweeted the Facebook meme on Sunday, remember to set the clock back 1 hour, then on Tuesday to not set the country back 50 years. Nicely said. It's true.
Fundamentally important. This election is going to have a real impact on lots of very real people.
Yep, absolutely. Carl, we will talk to you next Wednesday.
Yes. All right. Well, assuming that, you know, Trump hasn't shut down the media.
Yes.
Assuming Wednesday happens.
Yes. All right. Yeah. We'll talk to you either post-apocalypse or in a brand new day. Thank you, Carl.
All righty.
All right. There he goes, Carl Fritz.